Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
If you'll go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Again, you can, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can see on the screen the scriptures that we will look at, or hopefully you got some sermon notes that you can hopefully follow along with. We're coming back into our series of noise recalibration, and we've been looking at this idea of recalibrating the noise that is really happening all around us for several weeks. And we've been talking about God's work, or who God is really, helping us to recalibrate. And so we are coming back to this, and we find these thoughts so vitally important to us as we continually think about this theme for our year: I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you and I are going to be a great part of God's work at building his church, we have to have our heart and mind set on who God is and what he desires for us. And so we are going to simply just start into this idea that God is wise, or the wisdom of God, and we will come back to it in more depth over the next several weeks as we see how his wisdom plays out in our everyday lives. But this morning, we just want to get a glimpse of who God is as the wise God. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. Romans chapter 11 is where we're at. We'll begin in verse 30, and we'll read down through chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says this: "For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, through this series, Noise Recalibration, we've talked regularly about the way our mind and our heart can create wrong thoughts that can lead us to some really big struggles in our lives. And we've talked about the idea that we need to cancel out the noise. We need to change the channel sometimes. Sometimes we need to turn up the volume of God and his impact in our lives. Sometimes we have to put on those earmuffs that we've talked about to drown out all the other noise that is happening around us. And so this morning, we're certainly going to see again the influence of our heart and our mind. But I want to add a third concept here into this conversation, and that is what we see. You realize the older you get that what you see can have a great impact on your heart and on your mind that can create struggles in your lives. It can create doubt. They can create doubt, the things you see. It can create discouragement, the things that you see coming at you in your life. I was reminded of this idea this week as Vicki and I were talking, and she mentioned that somebody had used the age-old question: if God is so good, why does he allow evil to happen in our lives? as we're reminded of that question, we realize that what people see, number one, introduces a thought, number two, that can create an experience, number three, and that experience then can create this struggle in the individual's life, and that struggle leads to this discussion about the goodness of God. And so you see how you come to this end of discouragement and doubt, but it all started with something we saw. And so it's so vitally important that we guard our eyes. So many years ago, as a little child, we used to sing that song in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For your Father up and above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And we need to be careful. We need to have discernment on the things that we are seeing so that we don't find ourselves ending up in that state of doubt and discouragement. And so as we attempt to recalibrate the noise of doubt and discouragement through this thought that God is wise, we have to be reminded that most anyone who struggles with seeing evil and the struggles that the seemingly lack of intervention that God has in this world comes because they don't either know God or they don't know what God knows. That's where these struggles come from. They don't know God or they don't know what God knows. Now, we find teenagers struggling with doubt and discouragement at greater rates than we have ever seen in years gone by. I would suggest to us this morning that teenagers are extremely susceptible to doubt and to discouragement because the average Christian teen spends little time reading Scripture and learning who God is. Now let's top that on with an even bigger struggle in that a teen who does not have the Holy Spirit influence will have even greater percentage of doubt and discouragement because they don't even know to look for God. They don't have the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so although we find a percentage of adults who will find great doubt and discouragement because of what they see, there is a greater percentage, and we need to help teenagers as well recalibrate what they're seeing so that they can know God and what He has for them. So I would encourage you to begin to see, or can you see, why this statement, how can a good God allow evil, can have such a huge grip on the hearts and minds of so many who have spent so little time trying to know God. And so this morning, what I would like to do is to start by looking at the consequences of not recalibrating the noise that is brought in by what we see, and finish with the opportunity that Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and see that the wisdom of God can give us the great opportunity to worship and praise Him for who He is and how He works in our lives. All right? So come back with me to Romans chapter 11 and verse 30, and let's notice first of all the consequence of not recalibrating is ignorance. The consequence of ignorance. In verse 30, Paul points to this word, unbelief. He talks about the unbelief that once ruled in the hearts of the Christians in Rome. He then points in verse 30, 31, and 32 to the unbelief of the Jews who had rejected the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ as their Messiah. All right, so you see this idea of unbelief. But go back up five verses with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 25, and I want you to see two thoughts that are connected to this word, unbelief. In verse 25, Paul says, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this ministry, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I believe you see the first consequence of ignorance there is found in the middle of verse 25, and that's this, literally, wisdom based on our imagination. We know that Paul is talking to the church as he makes this statement, you are wise in your own conceits. And he was talking about their past. At one time, they walked in their own wisdom. But we cannot deny that the world, those who are lost without Jesus Christ, have based a lot of their own wisdom on their own imaginations. Now, we can see the imaginations of those who are lost without Christ very prominently being played out before our eyes today. But Solomon would say in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. He is establishing for us that there is a wisdom that is against God that is only going to lead to evil. And so we need to change. We need to recalibrate the wisdom that we are getting. Isaiah would say this in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. And so what you find both times is that God is pointing us to this idea that wisdom based on our own human perspective, by what we see around us, can be and is often very destructive. Think about the rich man and Lazarus from Luke chapter 16 for just a moment. We're told about this rich man who died and he went to hell, and it would be our conclusion then that this man based the majority of his life, if not all of it, on the pursuit of money, on the pursuit of riches. Now, I'm sure as he walked through this world, he saw many difficulties, he saw many struggles, he saw many challenges, he saw a lot of the world's problems. And yet human wisdom told him that money could be sufficient to cure his problems. Now you find him in eternity, separated from God and having this conversation with Abraham. And this rich man presses Abraham to send someone who would be risen from the dead so that his family, who is still alive, could hear about God and come to a different eternal conclusion than the rich man. And what you find is that Abraham alludes to the point that God does not strategically work through miracles, but scriptural truth, to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What this man wanted for his family was wisdom of God, but he wanted it from things that they could see. And so Abraham tells the rich man that his family would stay lost and separated from God if they would not search the scriptures and find the truth of God in Jesus Christ. Abraham wanted them to know someone rather than see something. And that was what would give them the wisdom to come to the knowledge of God. See, seeing can't give us all the information we need about God and his wisdom. If our eyes are not backed with the truth of God, we can begin to imagine a lot of things that go against the word of God. So you have this wisdom that is based on our own imagination. I believe you see this second thing that happens with ignorance, and that is spiritual blindness. Paul talks about the Jews and the blindness that God allowed to take place. And now we know that God has allowed the Jews to be blinded to the truth because they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ. But we have to be reminded here this morning that because of sin, blindness to the truth of God and the wisdom that he offers is possible for anyone. For the Christian, if we're not careful, Paul says that we can allow ourselves to see through a glass darkly, not really be able to see all the wisdom and the knowledge that God has. We miss the wisdom of God, and we can become discouraged if we're not careful to approach God for that wisdom in times where we cannot see. For the unbeliever, we know that Satan is doing everything in his power to blind the minds of them to the glory, to the light of the glorious gospel. Paul tells us that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And so we see that blindness is a very real possibility in this world, which can allow people to be ignorant of the wisdom that God has offered us. And so we know that unbelief is a very big issue when it comes to seeing from the human perspective the impact of God's wisdom in the world. But as the good old G.I. Joe saying goes, knowing is only half the battle. So in this case, we know the cause of the struggle is unbelief. So how do we begin to recalibrate the noise of unbelief? Notice this second thought that we're given in Romans chapter 11. The challenge to trust the wisdom of God. Look back with me, if you will, to verse 33 through 34. Paul says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God, the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him and shall be recompensed?" You see this challenge that Paul gives to the Christians at Rome. It's really the same challenge that God gave to Job. You see, Job had these friends. He even had a wife, and they were looking at his situation from darkened eyes. They were giving him wisdom that they felt was beneficial and helpful. But what you find when God steps in and he begins to ask some of these very similar questions that Paul is speaking about, what Job learns is that God's wisdom is way beyond human comprehension. I'm not sure, or I'm maybe many of you have heard this quote from Adrian Rogers. He says, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God?" You see, that's where God brings Job. That's where Paul wants to bring these believers in Rome to this vast wisdom and knowledge of God that we have a hard time understanding. Think about what Paul is telling us here. God never gets wrong information. You see, God's not sitting in a conference room somewhere in heaven asking questions around a conference table to try and figure out if he's got wrong information or enough information. He's not sitting there hoping that he's getting the facts right. He's not deliberating in a corner office about the research that's been conducted for the subject that's at hand. God's wisdom is far superior than what we have to comprehend. But not only is God not getting the wrong information, God never needs more information. You see that here as we see it in Romans chapter 11. You notice that God is not in a courtroom asking for more witnesses to see if he can piece together all the information that he has. We're told in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1, "In the beginning, God." So who is his counselor? The truth is he doesn't need a counselor because he is God. His ways are perfect. He is love, he is faithful, he is true, he is mercy. That's what we've looked at over the last several weeks in this study on noise recalibration. So we don't need to retreat into discouragement, into depression. We need to change the channel and learn from God. We need to think about the absolute depth of God's wisdom and knowledge. And as we think about those things, we might need to put all the metaphors together that we have used through this series. We might need to change the channel and find better information about God, and then crank up the volume in those earbuds that we place in our ears so that we can allow God's information to pour into our hearts and minds. And then, as we said earlier, put on those earmuffs and drown out those outside noise so that we can fully soak up this idea alone that God is wise and His wisdom is enough. See, if we can recalibrate with this full onslaught of the knowledge and wisdom of God, we can begin to relax and let God work all things together for good, because we love Him, because we are, as believers, the called according to His purpose. Now, I know that this is a really crude illustration to try and get this idea across. As we started this series, I talked about my love for noise, putting together that amazing sound system. If I am going to waste any time on entertainment, it's going to come from something that is filled with tons of action. And I love the loud bangs and lots of things blowing up. So the creators of Marvel put together this concept of timekeepers. They created a movie around this timekeeper named Doctor Strange. In one scene of one of their movies, there is a struggle for survival for millions of people on Earth, and it came down to a group of heroes making the right choice. As all of these heroes struggled against this one enemy, Doctor Strange, you find sitting over on the side, and he is combing back and forth through history into future to see what was the best conclusion that could be brought about with everything, every choice that could be made. Everything that these heroes were doing was trying to push towards a great conclusion. Now, not every single hero that is introduced to the idea that Doctor Strange gives to them was excited about the conclusion, because it went against everything they felt was right. But this movie projects this concept that Doctor Strange saw every scenario and he made the right choice based on his wisdom. Now again, I understand that is a very crude illustration of God, but begin to wrap your head around this truth. God, unlike Doctor Strange, didn't need someone to impart power to him. He is all-powerful. God, unlike Doctor Strange, doesn't need an out-of-body experience because he is everywhere present. But here's the pinpoint. God is all-knowing, the beginning and the end. And his wisdom, past, present, and future, is enough for us to trust because he is God. Yeah. Paul said this to the church at Ephesians, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can I challenge you with something this morning? If you have been okay with the will of God to send his only begotten son to die for your sin, we can be okay and learn to be okay with God's will even in the struggles that we see in our everyday life, because it's based on God's wisdom. God knew there was absolutely nothing you and I could do to save us from our sins. Therefore, he sent his own son, perfect in every way, sinless, unlike anyone else, to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. We can understand and agree to that wisdom. So we have to learn to know who God is, and then learn to trust that his wisdom is enough to help us move through the discouragement and the doubt, and trust that God is working all things together for good. So if that is true, and we can begin to move in the wisdom of God, I believe we see this third thought that Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we can, with great confidence, worship God. And so I believe you see the confident servant. Number three, the confident servant. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Would you say those last five words with me? Which is your reasonable service? Paul says, presenting your body as a sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice, is your reasonable service. God has done all of this to bring you to the wisdom of his salvation. It's reasonable that you live your life as a sacrifice for him. God has done everything. Now, for some of us who are older, there's a lot more things, a lot more wisdom that we can attach to our lives. God has done all of this to bring you to the wisdom of God. Some things were good, some things were difficult, some things in our mind were just absolutely atrocious, but God brought us through and we saw his wisdom in those things in the past. And he says, because he has given you the wisdom, I beseech you, I implore you, I challenge you, be a confident servant. Live your life as a sacrifice of praise. The servant who is confident in the wisdom of God is going to worship. Last Sunday, we talked about that amazing worship service of the believers in heaven. We talked about the fact that they would come from every nation, tongue, tribe, and people. But may I challenge you this morning that we can worship God just as passionately without all the visual reality of heaven. You and I can see God from his word for who he is, how he's worked in our lives, and worship him. Sing, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We can worship him today for how he was working in our lives. But think about this. I don't know what God's will is for America in the coming years, but I can worship him today for how he's working in my life in America. See, we don't have to be discouraged about what is taking place in the greater America because we know God's working in our lives in America. I don't know what God's will is for my kids, but I can worship God today for what he is putting in them right now. I don't know what God's will is for Southwest in 20 years, but I can worship him for the 15 and the a little bit more of an explosion today, which is a blessing, that gather together to be equipped and encouraged for the work of the ministry that God has us for in Lake Havasu City. See, we don't have to know everything. We just have to begin to find out what is the wisdom that God wants for us today, so that we might worship him as a living sacrifice today. You and I may never fully understand the sight of heaven, the whys of God, but we can confidently serve in the what God has for us today, because we know that God is wise, and that's enough. So as we draw to a conclusion this morning, I want to ask you to stop for just a moment. What have you been seeing lately? How has it been affecting your heart and your mind? Is there discouragement and doubt that has welled up because You have allowed yourself to imagine things outside the Word of God, outside the wisdom of God. Has God begun to work this morning in your heart to begin to recalibrate, to begin to pause and ask if those thoughts and imaginations that you have had are truly in line with who God is and with His Word? Maybe God has begun to challenge you to search the Scriptures daily so that you might grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly why maybe God brought you here this morning, but He brought you here for a purpose. And let me challenge you again with this. I am so excited that we can walk in any way that God brings us here. But again, anytime the Word of God has been opened and the Holy Spirit has been given the liberty to do His work His way, there's no reason for us to walk the same way out. So as we open our hymnals and we sing one last song this morning, if God has begun to work in your heart about some ideas on how you might need to recalibrate, I would encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning after the service, you need to talk to somebody about coming to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to talk to somebody about the discouragement and the struggle. I would encourage you to come and you can talk with me, and I would love to share with you some scriptures so that you might know God or know what God might have for you. But the reality is, maybe you're here and you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're just struggling, and God is working in your heart. As we sing this morning, I would just encourage you to cast those cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Would you stand with me and sing? We'll sing 308, I Surrender All. We'll sing three verses this morning of I Surrender All.
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website, and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.